Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
We are so passionate about prayer, and we've been talking about becoming children, becoming aligned, like Manny talked about last week. Today we're talking about becoming dependent, because we do want to be not childish, but we do want to be childlike. And there's a difference, but the childlike posture we want to have in prayer is really, really important. And that's why we're going to go to Matthew 6, 9 to 13. We're going to read this again. If you got your Bible, do you have your Bible? You can open your Bible to Matthew 6. It says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us," this is the verse we're going to focus on today, "give us this day," everyone say this day, "our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Lord, this is our prayer. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives in the middle of the year. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can you thank the very talented Ryan Trestrail? Plays drums, plays keys. Next week he'll be leading worship. And I can't wait for that. Bring all your friends. 2 weeks ago, Jess and I were in New Zealand. Any New Zealanders? Chotobro. We were in New Zealand. And we were staying with our Christian psychologists for a week. And so this was big. We went and stayed with them for a week. This amazing couple. They help the Baptist missionaries. And they kind of debrief with people. And we had a big year last year. And so we caught up with this couple and they said, "Why don't you just come stay with us for a week?" And I got to tell you, it was probably the best thing Justin and I have ever done for us. It was intense. It was 6 hours a day, 5 days in a row. We stayed in their house. Like, they took us to their farm. We were like, what's going to happen? Are they, like, is this, should we be worried? but turns out they're great. And so we ate together, we did sessions together. At the beginning of every session, we prayed. Like, at the middle of every session, we prayed. At the end of every session, we prayed. And the Holy Spirit was there. And one of the things that I really saw very clearly was how important it is to bring God into every space of your life. And that to really have intimacy with God means that we need to open every room in our house, every room in our lives to Him. And the more intimate with God you are, do you know what happens? You grow in your identity. The more you open your whole life to God, the more healing happens deep in your soul that actually strengthens your identity in Christ. Amen. Because the more you look at God, everybody, the more you see God, it's like a mirror. The more you see who you really are. You know, intimacy, you know, it's said, "Into me I see." You got to love that. That's kind of cringy, but I love it. "Into me I see." But it's true. The more you look at God, the more you see who you are designed to be. And, you know, I've never found it hard to watch Netflix. Anybody? You know, like watching the Disney Channel, or that's my life these days. But you know, like to watch a movie, it's never that hard. You know, you just choose to watch a movie and you just watch a movie. There's not really any resistance. There's not a lot of pushback on that. But why is it that every time you decide to read your Bible, every time you go to pray, there's resistance? Why is it when you wake up in the morning to pray and suddenly you see all the problems in the house that needs cleaning? You didn't see them when you were going to watch the movie, but suddenly you decide to pray and you see all these things you got to do. And suddenly you decide, I'm going to come down to church and your car breaks down. It's like there is resistance to intimacy with God. And it's not by accident. It's because it is of great value. Entertainment, it's fine, but it is not going to change your life like looking into the words of life, like talking to your Heavenly Father. And that's why prayer is so important, because we start to see who we are. Prayer is relational. It is not transactional. Jesus said before the Lord's Prayer, remember, he said, don't be like the hypocrites who pray to be seen. He said, don't be like the pagans who pray empty words, ritualistic prayers. Pray like this, our Father. And it's really important to understand that before we get to bringing our requests to God, which is what we're going to talk about today, before we get to verse 11, there are some verses prior to verse 11. And they are there on purpose. Verse 11, requests to God are not at the beginning of the prayer. They're in the middle of the prayer. And there's a reason for that. And I think if you were to do a poll, if you were just to go walk the streets and ask people, what do you think prayer is? Most people would describe prayer as something you do when you have a problem or a need or a want or an ask. And I think most people's framework of prayer is probably like this great old movie, Bruce Almighty. Anybody? We're going to have a look at a little clip from Bruce Almighty right now online. Stay with us. We'll be back in a second. Have a look. I think that's what most people think prayer is kind of like. It's just a bunch of needs that when you need God, then pray. But actually, the framework for prayer that Jesus gives us is you start with our Father and you move to your kingdom come and your will be done. Now, this is important. This is a really good moment because, can you give it up for Zoe? Because Zoe and Curtis got engaged. So thank you for that great glass of water. Amen. Tastes good. So most people would feel like prayer is about just requests, but the importance of what Jesus paints for us is that before we make requests, we first come to God as children and we come to God aligned to his kingdom and his will. This means we bring our requests from the posture of a child and through the prism of his kingdom and will. This means petitionary prayer is only truly effective if we view God as our Father and not a genie. This means petitionary prayer is only truly effective if we view God's kingdom and will as our priority. It means that petition always comes after adoration and alignment. There is an order that Jesus gives us. We see it in Philippians 4:6. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Because worship elevates the way we see God, the way we see ourselves, and the way we see our needs. And so Jesus says, pray like this. I remember one time, it was one of many times I was talking to Jessen in the car and I was kind of worried about a couple of things and we were talking about and we were wrestling with it. And then as I got out of the car, Siri on my phone said, don't worry, Alex. AI is watching. I was like, what the heck? But it was good advice. And so I went and I prayed about the situation. I'd just been talking about them. And that's not wrong, but it actually wasn't helping me. Like, there's only so many coffee catch-ups you can have to discuss that problem before you bring it to prayer. Like, there's only so many times you can talk about it before you give it to God. And so, actually, I just started worshiping God. I didn't even pray about the situation. I remember I went into our home and I just got a space and I started thanking God for all the good things he's doing in our life, thanking God for the way he's moving. And suddenly I started to look at the same issue with a new perspective. And this is why we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because you know what it does, everybody? It heals your perspective. When you look at God as your Father, it heals your perspective. We pray not from a place of rejection. Some of us are praying and there's rejection in our heart between us and God. Some of us, we're coming to God and we're trying to move God, but actually the thing we need to do is pray like a child. Dad, water, now. Come to God like he's your Father. Pray to him like he's your Father. Let him heal your perspective. Before we bring our requests, we need the lens that we're looking at God and ourselves to be healed. Your kingdom come and your will be done. It heals us from self-centeredness. Amen. It heals us from the things that are actually about us. We see, God, your kingdom and your will is our priority. And it's from this perspective that now we bring our requests to God. In verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And this is where we're going to live for the next few moments. Give us this day our daily bread. And it begins with give us. Everyone say give us. There's a beautiful confidence and humility in that statement. Give us. Give us. It's you know, when a child cries out to their father for something, as a dad, I love it. I actually love it because it shows safety. It shows confidence to ask for what you need. And so there is a beautiful thing that is childlike in our prayer life when we say, God, give me. God, I need this. Do not hide your real needs from God. He knows you need them anyway, everybody. Don't pretend. You don't need to pretend like you don't need those things. Bring your real needs to God. Look what Luke, the gospel according to Luke in chapter 11, it says, in verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, which is the best gift you could ever receive in your whole life, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to those who ask him? The writer in Hebrews said, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. James said it like this in chapter 4, you desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you got on your pleasures. It's a whole nother story. But ask. It's okay to ask. What is in your heart to ask God? Ask God. John Newton wrote a hymn. It goes like this. Second verse of it. It says, thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such, no one can ever ask too much. I want to be a part, I want to have a prayer life that asks God for little things, for big things, for everything. Amen, church? Cultivate the muscle in your life that your prayer life, after you've said, Lord, my Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your will be done. Give us this day. Ask. Do you need peace? Ask for it. Do you need wisdom? Ask for it. Sometimes we do not have because we have actually not asked. God is very good. God is very kind. And you can have confidence that God is good. Sometimes we need to remember that God is good and it's not based on our previous experience. How you're doing today. we need to remember that just because of some past disappointments, it doesn't mean God is no longer good. God is always good. And I've had moments that have been disappointing. And you know, the best thing you can do is bring that disappointment to God. Are you angry at God? Do you know the best place to take your anger with God to is God? Job complained to God and he considered it prayer. Job was honored because he brought his complaint to God. Read the Psalms. How much is David pouring out his real emotion? Sometimes we think we gotta hide our emotion, we gotta have it all together when we pray. That's not the prayer pattern that Jesus gives us. He says, pray, our Father. I don't see Oakland mixing his words with me. I don't see him tiptoeing around. When he needs something, he says it and he asks. Come on, everyone, say ask. Ask God confidently. And you know, I just want to encourage you today, everybody, God does good things. God is still good. God is very faithful. God is very kind. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I prophesy that over your life today. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. I remember, you know, it's funny, like we have seen God's provision in a lot of different areas. But one area, I remember we were told for years, I just had this voice saying, you're never going to get a house because you're a pastor. You're never going to get a house in Sydney because you're a pastor. It's just never going to happen. And so we're like, okay. Do you know, when we got this house, the lady, when she sold it to us, one of the reasons she sold this house to us is she said, I've been praying for many years that we might be able to sell this house to some pastors. God is so good. God is so good. And you can believe God, you can trust God that he is good. Give us is the humility to say, God, I need you. Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the upside down kingdom. We come to God with a posture of humility. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Remember, church, at the heart, at the root of prayer is humility. Prayer keeps us humble. Pride keeps us prayerless. Keep praying. Keep crying out. Stay humble. Why? God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. We never want God as our enemy. We want God on our side. And grace comes to those who remain humble. In your business, remain humble. In your marriage, remain humble. As a parent, remain humble. Stay dependent. Stay crying out to God. The sin of the church in Laodicea that Jesus spoke to in the book of Revelations was that they were self-sufficient. And if there's anything that can happen in Western culture or on the northern beaches, right? It's we become self-sufficient, but we must fight that self-sufficiency and get on our knees and say, God, we need you. Amen. Amen, church. Christianity is not a subculture, it's a counterculture. And the counter to the culture we live in is, God, we need you. God, help us. Give us this day. What I love about this is it is present tense trust. Present tense trust. I don't know about you, but I do find in my life so many things we are planning for the future, right? Just me. Planning for the future. We're looking at calendars. We're looking at what's coming up, preparing for this, preparing for that. And so much of my world, I'm looking ahead and I'm believing God for what's ahead. I can find also, you know, like we can be looking at the past, debriefing, looking at the what happened here, what happened there. But what I love about this prayer is Jesus says, this day, today, like the manna in the book of Exodus. Remember, it was made for one day, by the Sabbath. They stored up too. Read it in your Bible. But every other day, the manna was made for one day, and people started storing up the manna. They started going, you know what? I'm going to control this. I'm going to get ahead of this. And I'm going to stockpile manna. But the manna went off. God didn't let it last. Because God actually wants his people to rely on him every single day. It's not a once a week reliance. It's not a once a month reliance. It's a daily reliance on God. That God is a provider for this day. I wake up most days and, you know, I find that when I read scripture and I pray, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. But I often find I need a new word for a new day. That was really good yesterday, but that isn't going to work today. I need something fresh. You need fresh bread every day. You need a fresh word from God every day. If you're holding on to something that you got years ago, thank God for that years ago, but you need some fresh bread in your life. If you are looking at what God once did and pining for him to do it here today, let it go. Don't trust how he used to do it. Trust the one that did it. Trust the one that's doing it. Let him do it differently today. Same God, different day, new bread for this day. Don't run ahead of God's provision. That's a word. Don't run ahead of God's provision. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. Come on, everybody. For tomorrow will worry about itself. It's coming. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is something I want to cultivate in my life and I want you to cultivate in your life, is a daily dependence on God. Give us this day our daily bread. And here's what I want you to catch. He knows what we need. He knows what we need. Matthew 6, after the Lord's Prayer, it goes on and it says in verse 25, worship team, you can join me. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Shout out to all the bird watchers, Alex Fanko. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you, come on everybody, are you not much more valuable than they? You're so valuable to God. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I've heard worries like a rocking chair. Keeps you busy but takes you nowhere. Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, I think sometimes our interpretation of our need and God's interpretation of our need are different. And it's really important that we pray our Father, because you will discover, and any parent will know, that a dad doesn't always give you what you want when you want it. He'll give you what you need. And sometimes giving you what you need means actually withholding what you want at times. So when Oakland wakes up first thing in the morning and says, "Dad, I want chocolate," and I don't give him chocolate, do you know what that's called? Do you know what that's called, everybody? It's called good fathering. So there are times that we interpret, "God, I need this by then." We are such control freaks. We're like, "God, I need this by then from, not from them. I need it from this person. I don't want it coming from it. I need this by then. You need to do it here. It's got to happen now." And we are trying to get God to do it our way, our timing. But do you know what it means to have daily bread from God? It means you got to trust God to meet the need that He knows is your real need. You know, like sometimes I just want God to get me places faster, right? But actually, I think God wants to grow my patience. So He doesn't get me there. He doesn't make the cars move. It's like He makes them slow down, especially on the parkway. Amen. God bless all of you. Building character, it's building patience, there's things that God does in our lives, and I don't want Him to do that, but He's doing it anyway, which means I need to trust that He is meeting a need in my life that I don't even realize is my real need. How are you going today? You hear me? I think the best way to put it is like this as I close. God will give you what you would have asked for if you knew everything He knows. God will give you what you would have asked for if you knew everything He knows. And the truth is, we don't know everything He knows. So we trust Him as our Father.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.